15 this morning. Luke 15. Boy, it's good to be at church. If you're glad you're in church, say amen this morning. I had me another outline ready to go this morning. But there's something really pushing in my heart out of Luke 15 that I'd like to share. Brother Mike, would you come? Miss Pollins are working on me. I want you to read, if you would, Brother Mike, for me today. And I want you to start reading verse 15, 1 through. I want you to read verses 1 through 4. And I want you to pick up in verse 11.
Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? Verse 11.
Yes.
And he said, A certain man had 2 sons. The younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He divided unto him his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. There wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself unto a citizen of that country, and sent him into his fields to feed swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. No man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said, Amen. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry.
Father, we love you today. We thank you for the good grace of God, how good you've been to us. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you are the life giver. We're thankful for the Word of God today, and I pray that you'd put the things in my heart that you want said and spoken here this morning. Thank you for these families, God, their faithfulness and service. Thank you for them. Help us now, I pray, O Spirit of God, use us to be a blessing. A few moments this morning, in Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. You'll notice that, as Brother Mike had read, he read over a question in Luke 15. It's concerning the elder son, because in verse 26, he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. I want to preach this morning out of Luke 15 on the three sons at the Father's house. The three sons at the Father's house. You'll notice the Bible picks up with the first son. He's simply has left the Father's house, and there we find him wallowing in a pen. Matter of fact, it all started wrong when his praying got wrong and he got to demanding God to give him. For he told the Father, "Give me the portion of goods," in verse 12, "that falls to me." And he divided to them his living. Our culture today, our surroundings and things that have developed, and no doubt this was the younger son because the Bible refers to the second son as the elder son. The younger son, it reminds me that we need to teach this younger generation that things simply just don't fall to them, but they must work for them and apply principles by the Bible that they may walk according to the Word of the Lord and please the Father at the Father's house. Now, so he asked the Father to give unto him the portion of goods that falleth to him. He felt like that pretty much the Father owed him something. And let me tell you, God don't owe us nothing, but we owe Him everything. We live in a society in a day when we take so much for granted. But I sure am glad there's a Father above that knows exactly what we need this morning. Now, his problems start when he went to praying wrong. I want to encourage you to pray, but I want you to pray right. I want you to say, "Lord, if it be Thy will, Lord, if it be Thy will, God, I wish this, but really at the end of the day, I know everything that's going to happen to me in my life, if I am in Your will, it's going to be for my good." And so, wouldn't we all agree today that the Father knows best? Wouldn't we all agree that we've all asked God for some things that we sure are glad that He didn't give us? Won't we all agree that God knows what He needs to give and what He needs to withhold? So we need to trust God in our praying. So, you know, one of the dangers when God gives His children things, they can't be the proper manager of it. It gets out of hand. It gets out of bounds. He divided unto them, the younger son and the elder son, all of his living. And so he, notice this, he made a decision. This decision brought a departure. He left out from the Father's house. And I've noticed this, Brother Mike, it doesn't matter how many sermons that a man preaches. If you've already got your mind made up, then it's your decision to make. And it's going to be hard to keep anybody from leaving if you've got your mind made up, "I'm leaving." You know, I've noticed in the things in my life when it comes and my mind is wanting to make a decision for my heart, I need to stop and analyze it. Is God happy with this? Does the Bible teach me against this? But here there was a decision, then there was a departure, and then you always remember this. There was danger. Any time that you leave the Father's house, you're going to find danger. And in that danger, you're going to find damage. Always you'll find damage. This young man, he left out, he made his mind up, and he got him some friends. And them friends, no doubt, took him to the wrong places. Be careful, young people, who your friends are. Be careful, because they may take you to places that you never imagined. Now the Bible said that he joined himself in verse 15 to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And then he said this when he came to himself. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He said, I will arise and I'll go to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. Now, there's something that this father had put in this son. He knew something about heaven. I want to ask you, mom and daddies, are you putting any heaven in your children today? When he got out yonder, not only did he get home on his mind, but he got heaven on his mind. That's why the Bible teaches us to raise our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Your child may be way out yonder this morning, but you always remember this. Somewhere down there, heaven's going to come up on their mind. Heaven's going to raise up in their heart. And it's very important what we put in our children at the house. And so, this one son, we find him wallowing in the pen. You know, that is my testimony. I'm glad I have a testimony. I wish it was not that testimony, but I was a prodigal. I left the Father's house and I got around the wrong kind of people and I got to doing the wrong kind of things. And before long it cost me everything that I had. But I sure am glad one day I came to myself. Has anybody ever come to yourself? Aren't you glad there's a God that let you see who you was and see who He is and gave you a way back home? Thank God I'm glad I got home one day. And so the three sons at the father's house, one is wallowing in the pen. Then Brother Mike read about the second son. We find him, he's simply just waiting on the porch. He, the elder son, there's been many sermons preached about this elder son. Now, he was home, but he was gone. He come in from the field, and he heard music and dancing. And so he asked the servants what these things be. And he said, when I hand you heard, said, your brother has come home. There's something about this when your brother comes home, God wants us to be rejoicing. We pray a lot about the prodigal. But then when the prodigal comes home, we get mad about it. I don't understand that process. So many times we have a prodigal friend or a prodigal child, and when they come theirself and come back, if you're not careful, you'll be mad that they come back. I want to say, we need to lose that attitude on a comeback this morning. I'm glad there's comebacks in the family of God. There may be some go-backs, but thank God for the comebacks. I'm glad for them that have come back home, glory to God. So now the elder brother, he's upset because of this comeback. He gets to analyzing his life, and he tells the father, he said, now, Lord, listen, all I've heard is about this prodigal child of yours. I mean, I've noticed everything around here, it has consumed you with the prodigal son. And Lord, I'm tired of hearing about the prodigal son. Lord, I've never left you. I've never disobeyed any of your commandments. I've done everything I know to do. And Lord, can't you just talk to me a little bit instead of majoring on the prodigal? I want to say today, those that have went out yonder and come back, thank God I'm glad we got back. But what about those that never went out yonder?
I thank the Lord for some young people that's never went out yonder. And I want to tell you as your friend, as a country preacher today, don't go out yonder, because there's nothing out yonder going after. Everything you need, everything that's blessing, is at the Father's house.
But I noticed the father had the fatted calf. Now, Brother Steve, you raise cattle. Brother Mark, you raise cattle. Brother Steve, many of you in here raise cattle, and you know this, you don't fatten a cattle out in the field. You fatten a cattle in the stall. And so the father had this fatted calf put up, and no doubt the elder brother would come by every day and he would see this calf be fattening up. He really felt like, whether it was or not, but he really felt like that the father was paying more attention to that wayward boy than the one that had never went no place. And it affected him. I want to tell you today, you may have a child way out yonder, and there's hope for them. But don't forget about the one that's never left you. Don't forget to encourage those that's not out there. Thank you for being here. I'm glad you're not out there. And a lot of times our church focuses on the prodigals. We see sinners one, the old dopers and the whoremongers and the harlots and those, my friend, that's been in the cesspools of the world, and we want to get up and crow about it. But what about those that just got saved by grace through faith and never went no place and stayed around the Father's house and loved preaching and praying? And praise it. What about that crowd that stayed at home? They deserve some praise. Now, if I had both of my girls, and thank God they're both home, far as I know. But Brother Lee, if one was out yonder, let's say if Macy was out yonder and Megan was home. And if all Megan ever heard was me talking about Macy gone, all she ever heard day in and day out was about Macy's gone. That's all they ever talked about. Don't you think she would get to feeling a little bit unappreciative? Don't you think that she would maybe get the feeling a little bit out of sorts? Well, Daddy loves her more than me. I want to say, we got to have balance. Amen. Thank God He saves sinners. But what about those in the church house that stayed with you 25 years? What about them that's never went no place? I say, hallelujah. I'm glad there's grace around the Father's house this morning. Now, notice this, Brother Tim. A light come on. The elder brother was in the field. And just because the younger brother had left, the father did not drop his rules at home. He made him still go out to the field. And I want to say, if you're not careful with a wayward child, you'll drop all your standards, fearing the other one will leave also. But I want to say something. There's got to be balance. In everything we do, I'm looking for balance. Do you hear me? Because if you don't have balance, you can go in the ditch, whether in the left or in the right. You got to stay in the middle of the road. Yes, God reaches the prodigal. But God also loves the one at home. So there was a mother involved. I want to ask you something. When this elder son was eating supper, and I've seen it in my family, and the mother weeping there over the plate of her son that has left home, what about them sitting around the table? I mean, they, no doubt this elder son had seen his mother crying night after night. And when he heard his son coming home, he said, "You're the one that's caused us all this trouble around here." But he was wrong. But I want to ask you, why was he wrong? Maybe somebody had not given him the right kind of balance. So, this younger son, we find him wallowing in the pen. Matter of fact, it don't take long, does it? Young people, I can remember the first pot I ever smoked. I was in a feed loft in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, about 13 years old. I took one joint and it hooked me till I was 20 years old. I never knew how far that would take me in life on a downward road. And so, I'm a picture of the prodigal. I came to myself. I realized I could not get rid of it myself. And when I throwed my hands up, there was a comeback. God got a hold of me. And by His grace, and only by His grace and His mercy, I've been saved. At 20 years old, I've been saved 38 years now. And I've never touched another joint of pot. And I'm glad since the day God delivered me from that. But I'm going to tell you, I've still got temptations in my flesh every day of my life. Pot's not my issue. But I do have other issues. And you have issues. Everybody here has got issues. And so I want to remind us that there was the younger son. He's wallowing in the pen. Then the elder son, why, he's just waiting on the porch. You'll notice that the father had to come out. He didn't know what was going on. It was such a misunderstanding. And I'll be honest with you, the elder brother did something that I don't want in my life. He got angry because somebody came home. I don't want to have that kind of spirit. Matter of fact, look at some of the blessings that he missed. When the younger son got home, you know what the father done? He called for the servants to put that coat upon him. Well, look what the elder son missed by not being getting around on this great homecoming day and this rejoicing and this reunion. Now he's sitting outside. The Bible paints us a picture that if you could see, it's a porch there, and the party and the music and the dancing was going on inside. But the Bible says this. I love the King James Bible because it's the only right Bible. Watch what he says. And he would not go in. It don't say he could not. But he would not. You know, it's amazing what is in us will keep us from going in to where the Father's at. It's amazing what we can harbor in our hearts to keep us from getting in on it. You know, I've noticed people come to Liberty Baptist Church and meet and break out. And folks say, what they doing? What's all this noise about? Aren't we supposed to have a quiet, dignified church? I got more Bible to teach you that shouting's biblical than silence is biblical. It's still right to say amen or oh me. Amen? And so, even though that one son was gone, the father did not drop his standards. He made him comply to the policies of his house. He still made him go in the field and work. And no doubt he would come by the stall and see that fatted calf and it would just boil in him knowing that the father had plans for somebody else. I tell you another problem that the elder son had. The music wasn't about him. Pride had slipped in his life. Pride is so sneaky. Do you remember Brother Bobby Sunday night, one of the best messages I've heard? Well, not a good message last Sunday night. He preached on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that preacher said something and made a statement that's so true. The lust of the eyes, you young people. Man, you just looking around every place. I mean, you're just caught up in emotion. A middle-aged man, he gets the lust of his eyes. He gets to wanting things, have things, have things. But then the older man of life, and this is what I never realized, he can get caught up in the pride of life. Pride is so sneaky. Pride is no respecter of persons. And I'm going to tell you something. He felt like the music ought to have been playing about him. But what he don't realize, the music had been playing about him a long time. God loved him. But he was upset. And this is amazing. The servants, watch your Bible, the servants said this. Your brother is come. And when he talked to the father, he would not relate to him as his brother, but call him your son. I thought, brother is a family term. You know what that means? That's not about skin color. It's about who has the same father. Muslims are not my brothers. This world, the biker gangs, get in the brotherhood, honey, let me tell you. You're not in the brotherhood until your father is the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm glad I've been born from above this morning. Amen. Our brothers and our sisters. Isn't it a blessing to have brothers and sisters? You that's never had a family of brothers and sisters. And I'm going to tell you something. They won't be listening to the broadcast anyway. So I'll go on and say it. There was 6 years apart. I was the baby. 6 years up went a brother. 10 years up went a sister. 12 years up went another sister. I never did feel like I had any brother and sisters in life. Till I got saved. And brother, when I got saved, Brother Randall, I got put in the family of God, and now I got brothers and I got sisters every place. Because we got the same Father. Don't let us look down on one another, but pray for one another and help one another and be reminded that God loves us all this morning. Told you I was going to preach about three sons. Some of you shaking your head and said, I don't see three sons there. Well, it's three sons there, and Brother Mike read about them. You find one son, he's wallowing in the pen. The second son, he's waiting on the porch. He would not go in. But the third son, Brother Mike, read about him to start with. He's writing a parable. And he's the Son of God. Do you hear me? There's three sons in Luke 15. There's one son wallowing in the pen. He's the prodigal. There's the eldest son. He's waiting on the porch. But the third son, you'll find him here in Luke 15, verse number 3. He's writing a parable, and he spake this parable unto them, saying. Verse number 11, and he said. Verse 25, now. You see, this third son, he's writing by a parable. I want to say three things about this, and I'll be done preaching this morning. You'll notice that The first son. The second son and the third son. They all three were loved by the Father. All three lived with the Father. And this is an amazing thing. I didn't see it till a few days ago. All three left the Father. You say, okay, tell me about the first son. Okay, he left the Father for sin. He enjoyed it. Till he found out there was no enjoyment in this world. The second son, he left the Father not because of sin, but he left the Father because of self. And watch this. I'm about ready to run out them back doors and let them police lock me up out there. The first son left the Father because of sin. The second son left the Father because of self. But the third son left the Father for sinners. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Brother Vince, I'm so thankful that the third son, the most important one, he lived with the Father. He too was loved by the Father, and he too left the Father. But he left the Father because he was on a mission. Because God sent him to die for you and die for me. And now this third son in Luke 15, he's writing a parable. And I want to say this, get Miss Sherry to come. I'm done preaching. I want to say two things about the third son. He's writing what he's seeing. He said, I'm going to write this parable. Parable is simply a familiar illustration to a heavenly scene or a heavenly teaching. He brings it down to our level. So, Jesus, the Son of God, He wrote this parable. He's writing what He's seeing. I want to say something. Don't forget this. He's still writing what He's seeing. And secondly and lastly, not only is he writing what he's seeing, but he's simply saying what he's writing. He's saying what he's writing. He wants us to realize the Father loved both. He wants us to realize that we better pay attention to the love of God. For God told the elder son, I don't know why you're so upset. Everything I have is yours. I wish that could sink in our church this morning. Everything God has, you can get a hold of it. And He'll give you that you need. This morning, what do you need from God? I'd like to open our altar this morning.